Good to see you all. Welcome. I've got a guest that I want to introduce. For some of you, it might be a guest. For some other people, it might be an old face. I see a few gray hairs there, but that's a good thing. It's a sign of wisdom. Now, when you introduce someone, you know, and it's someone you have met here and there and just spend a few minutes or a meal with, you know, then you can say a few things about that person. But you know, when you know someone really well, there's always the pitfall of saying too much, you know. So Jankor, this morning, JP, if you bring us the pulpit, I think I can go in Afrikaans, we say, I can die Bobbejaan na ver achter die berg gaan haal. But hy's nou nie die Bobbejaan nie, don't get me wrong, yeah. But yeah, it was last month, 12 years ago, that Jankor baptized me. And since then, we were friends, we ministered together in so many ways, and it's always nice when we're at the pastor summit, you know. For some reason, they always single out the Namibian guys. And I think it's because we have got such a good friendship and unity in our region. And Jankor, it's really awesome to have you here this morning. Thanks for spending time. You also brought a little bit of rain that we are also thankful for. Yesterday, he brought it from the Cape, I guess. So Jankor, a friend, a brother in Christ, a leader, welcome to have you here this morning, and I'm not going to step in the pitfall to tell 10 stories in 10 minutes or 15 minutes, but great to have you here. Amen.
Yes, good morning everyone. It's great to be in Windhoek. I was very grateful to have the rain here because it's not that warm in the Cape yet, and I was thinking I'm really going to sweat here today if it's 31, 33. When I look at the weather, it said the maximum is like 33 here, and I was like, goodness, this is going to be really hot. Anyway, but it's really good to be back. It's going well with me and my family. We try not to have too many broken bones and stuff in the family. We had like, I want to say a month or so back, we had one, I've got four children. The youngest one's leg was broken by my eldest son. It wasn't a good idea to jump from his bunk bed on her laying on the ground. And I think just a week after that, my second son broke his arm again. And I was thinking, told Sandra, we can't. I was like, first, can you do this, Andre? And he was like, yes. I said, no, we can hold on for a while with him. But I told Senator, we must take him also again to the emergency place. I think they will come and do some, I don't know, onderzoek of something, thinking there's something wrong in this family. But all the bones are healed, and it is going well. And yes, it's really great to be here. The worship time has been really amazing this morning. And actually, gonna let me just quickly show you my title sermon. Do God really knows what is best for me? That will be my sermon, and a picture that I quickly just want to show you is that one. Can you read? Yes, you can read it. And this morning in the worship time is like that, and I feel like the mosquito that hit the artery. You know, it's really been blessed here, and part of my sermon will also be about this morning, that sometimes we stand in worship or in God's presence, and some of us feels like the mosquito there on what is your right. And but some of us sometimes feel like we don't get the blood, you know. So you can have a situation that the person next to you is having an amazing time in God's presence, but another person's not. But still, it's the same presence, the same God, we've got the same devil, everything is the same. So I hope that I can help you with a few keys just to make it easier to become a person that can really experience God's presence in the way He wants us to experience it, okay? And one of the things, and scholar also mentioned 1 Corinthians 13, and I quickly want to read to you. If I give all my possessions to the poor, and I give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud. And then in verse 5, it does not dishonor, and remember the word dishonor, others. It is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It It always protects, always trusts. That's also a very important part. Always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. And why I read this is that it's like Scholar also said, sometimes I do get worried at when I listen to people and how much striving there is in our lives. In our lives to be even a better Christian. We sometimes work so much or put so much effort to be a better person. And actually, the thing that God really wants from us is that place of love where we don't stress so much about not being the perfect Christian. And the part that she also read there is in Isaiah. And I'm actually going to just mention some of it. It's not on a slide. But even in Isaiah 1, and it's quite a long passage, but please go and read Isaiah 1, where God says he doesn't really delight in all our effort, if I can put it like that, in all our sacrifices. And it actually he uses quite a few strong words. At one stage he says, I've had enough of burnt offerings. And in verse 13 he says, bring no more vain offerings. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assemblies. So my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. And God really wants us to get to a place where when we come in his presence, it's not about what we should do or this place of trying to be something. And what's much better is what he says in verse 18 of Isaiah 1. He says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. And then he will help us with all of this stuff. And for me this morning, something that I quickly want to mention is that God a lot of times have the answer for us. And he tells us what to do. But we try to figure him out. And that's probably one of the greatest mistakes that we can make, is to try and figure God out. It's like, and I'm not going to focus much on this, but it's like even in Ephesians 4, you know that the end goal for you as an individual is where God promises you to grow to the maturity in Christ. Now, if you want to grow in maturity in Christ, you must just do the rest of the stuff that's in Ephesians, where it basically means that you need to have the right relationship with one another, right relationship with the church, need to be humble, need to let the leaders equip you. And then God will make sure you grow to the maturity of Christ. You will see God doesn't say focus to grow to the maturity of Christ. He says, if you do these things that I've told you to do, I will make sure you grow to the maturity of Christ. So there's a part that of the responsibility that actually belongs to him. Where we, a lot of times, we want to sit and then we think and we say, I want to be more mature in Christ. I'm going to focus on being more mature in Christ and I'm going to work on my character, for example. But then it's striving. Then you're in a place where you try to fix yourself rather than just allow God to fix you, because he created the platform where he will help you. You see, and that's why even, there's so many other verses. It's like the one where God says, if you're weary and burdened, come to me, yoke with me, and I will give you rest. So there's a place that if you yoke with him, his responsibility is the rest. You don't even need to focus on the rest. He will give it to you. It's the same where first seek the kingdom of God, and he will give you the rest. If you first seek the kingdom of God, he will give you the rest. So it doesn't help. You don't need to pray for the rest. Are you with me? And that's why God gives us so many answers or solutions, but we try to figure him out, and that's where we miss him. Rather than just, as I say, focus first on the kingdom, and he will do the rest. We don't need to think about the rest. We don't need to worry even about the rest. And we also have this ability, in a sense, to measure ourselves with the wrong measurements. And again, rather than allow God to come and show us what he wants to show in us. But let me quickly read to you another verse. Before I read this, I must actually tell you, this was actually the motivation of my sermon. air is definitely drier here. I think it was pretty much a week ago. I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was like, oh, I'm not so awake. I'm less to go and run in the mountain. And after, I think, half past four, I went for this run, and I lived near Helleberg Mountain, which is a semi-steep mountain for those who have been in Somerset West. And I started enjoying this run just so much, but the whole time, it's like God is starting to impart this message in my heart. But I don't really understand exactly where he's going with all of this, but he's imparting this message to me. And when I got to the top, I was pretty much running like in the clouds. And I just knew, and God showed me this picture of him really wanting to fill the church with a cloud of glory. And when I saw this picture, and I actually, in our case, saw the Stellenbosch congregation, but I felt it was for all our churches, is that I saw this picture of this cloud, and it was not, we'll get to what was the key for this, but in this cloud, people just got saved, people just got healed, people got delivered without them asking for it. There was the place of God getting all the glory. And while seeing that picture also, I saw people coming from outside, walking in just because they were drawn by the glory of God. And while people were touched inside, they had this deep desire to also go out and share the glory of God. You know, and it's one of those things that God even says, if you desire to follow me, take up the cross. There's a place that where God can actually come and impart that desire within us. And that's really my heart's desire for this morning, is that God will bring us to that place where he can fill us, even in church, with like a cloud of his glory. So that we don't have, as I said in the beginning, so much striving, trying to work out things, but rather to that place where he gets the glory for the things that he do. And in that morning, I actually run quite a few kilometers, and I will actually end off with that. But then, and I went to a pastor's meeting just after that, and I still didn't exactly understand the whole cloud thing that God showed me that morning. And then one of the pastors read this verse while we was interceding in Isaiah 6, verse 1. It was in the year King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And then verse 4, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke, which I obviously see as that cloud of glory. Then I said, "It's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's army." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal, and he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And he touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Yes, go." And it's exactly actually what I saw in this vision that morning on the mountain, is that place in that presence, God brought repentance. This guy just saw God. He was just in God's presence, and he wanted to repent. He saw the filthiness around him, but it is not all. In that presence, God also delivered him from that. And not just from his filthiness, or if I can put it like that, but also from his guilt. That God delivered him while in God's presence, and he also gave him the desire to go out. That's everything we want in God's presence. And the key that God showed me, because obviously I asked God, what is the thing that that is a key that you want us as a church to work on, if I can put it like that. Not work on, but a culture that we need to work on. And it actually took me back to the Ten Commandments. And I don't know when last did you get a sermon out of the Ten Commandments. Who if you've got a sermon out of the Ten Commandments in the last 5 years? Is it maybe three people here? And there's something that God showed me. Again, it was all still on the mountain. And I've never seen this before. Maybe you have. Is that when we look at the Ten Commandments, all the commandments is something not to do. Except two. And this number four, I didn't say it, it's not org. Because it says remember the Sabbath. But if you read on, it says a lot of things you might not do on the Sabbath. So it's actually, again, a not one. But then the fifth one is honor your father and your mother. And I just felt God say that in our culture, that is one of the Ten Commandments that he didn't say not, because he was wanting to create a culture with this. And I'm going to focus a little bit on the concept of honor. So the thing is, I immediately started to think was when I saw honor your father and your mother, I started to think about what does it actually mean to honor? How do you honor your mother and your father? And I just realized that there's a lot of things that we work as parents and do, but when it comes to honoring your father, your mother, it was like I realized it's not something even as a parent that I really, really focus on. And I quickly want you, because I see some of you, most of you sit close to someone, I want you to quickly turn to the person next to you and answer this. How do you honor your mother and your father? If you don't have your mother and father is not living anymore, say, how do you honor your boss? How do you, practically, how do you honor it? I'm going to actually give you just a minute or so, just to quickly answer that. How do you honor your mother and your father? And if I can throw in a curveball, remember there's a difference between serving your mother and your father and honoring your mother and your father. Okay. Something I also want you to notice is when we say honor your mother and your father, again, it's one of these things we've all read it million of times, but there's something of it that just stood out for me. And one of the things is also when the Bible says honor your mother and your father, obviously the verse goes on that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God have given you, is that what is the... Feinskrif of this command. When can you, or when should you honor your mother, your father? Is it honor your mother, your father when they're Christians? Is it honor them because they deserved it? Because they are good parents? Because what disqualifies your parents from that you cannot honor them? There's absolutely nothing. Even if you've got sinful parents, you still need to honor them. And it was also amazing, if you think the commandments was in a sense, I always see it was written for adults. But here it talks about honoring your mother and your father. And for me, the reality is that you're going to know your parents before you're going to know the Lord. And the only way that you can learn how to honor God is by learning how to honor your parents. Are you with me? Now you will understand why so many people struggle, even in a time of worship, to honor God. Because they really don't know how to honor. In our generation, we have a generation that don't know how to honor. Do you all agree with me? Can I get an amen? Do you do amen here? Is everyone still awake? So, if you don't have the culture of honoring, there's so many things that, in a sense, fall in line. And if I was the devil, that was definitely one of the commandments I would focus in. And you understand why there's such an attack on families. The same it is with God created man and woman or husband and wife in the image of God. It's so that all children can see God through their parents. And when we think again about honoring, if you don't understand honoring within your house, chances is good. You're also not going to understand honoring with outside your house. You're not understand honoring within church. And also not understand honoring within the Lord. The reality is that our parents are imperfect. And you need to learn how to honor them even in the imperfect way. And we as parents, where will our children see how to honor is the way we honor our parents. So the commandment is for children, but it's actually for parents, for adult people, so that we can learn how to honor. Now, for me, God was very clever in here. If he created the culture of honoring, there's a lot of things that the culture of honoring actually counter. And I'm going to read to you in Romans 1. And it's amazing, if you go and make a study about Romans 1, you actually just see the Ten Commandments again. A lot of people think the Ten Commandments is something just for the Old Testament, but there's a lot of it in the New Testament. And I'm not going to read the whole Romans 1, but Romans 1 verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks." And that word thanks is a very important word to him. "But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." All these things is for me the culture that you have when there's no honoring. Are you all with me? The same we find in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving." And all of those things is for me, in a sense, if I can summarize that, is actually a spirit of lawlessness. And then if I talk about how we measure ourselves, I want to read to you also a very well-known verse, Matthew 7 verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?'" And then verse 23, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And and verse 24 of chapter 24 verse 12 says, "And because of lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." Even this morning we talked about love. The Bible actually shows us here where does love grow cold? It's when lawlessness increase in our lives. The word lawlessness is a very loaded thing, and it's sometimes difficult to talk about it. But what counts as lawlessness is a culture of honoring. So if there's a culture of honoring, you don't even need to worry about lawlessness. If there's a culture of honoring, there will be a culture of love. Are you with me? Can I have amen on this? Does it make sense to you? Even when God or Jesus summarized all the Ten Commandments, it is you must love God and love your neighbor. Where in the Ten Commandments does it talk about love your neighbor? It's in the first one, honoring. The rest is everything, yes, you must not steal and all those things. But it is, the first two is about God, you must love God. And the rest is, yes, your neighbor. But the one that really talks about one another is the honor your father and your mother. If you know how to honor your mother and your father, you will know how to love people. But we've got too many people that don't know how to love because they also don't know how to honor. And for that, we've got a lot of lawlessness in our society. So if I was the devil, I would create a culture where there's no honoring because I know lawlessness will increase and therefore a loveless generation will increase. And 1 Peter 2, verse 16 says, "Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Even honor the emperor." And here we see in the New Testament, and that's the funny thing, we always talk about the Old Testament and even that it's like you're under the law and stuff like that. But if you even look at the New Testament, the requirements in a sense is even greater. In the Old Testament, you had to honor your mother and your father. In the New Testament, you need to honor everyone. It's like in the Old Testament, yes, it talks about love. In the New Testament, you must love your enemy too. So actually, it's like evilness increased, the standard of God actually increased also, which is actually a good thing. But the amazing thing is here is that, yes, we must learn how to honor everyone. And again, it must start in our houses. It must start within our church. You know, and that's why I ask you, how do you honor one another? Just the other day, I was also very convicted about this. I prayed with, in our intercession, we end off where we had to pray for our government. Now, I prayed with Arno Ferrie. I don't know if you know Arno Ferrie. He won gold at the Paralympics for the 100 meter. Now, he prayed before me. Now, in my mind, I was already going for the whole accountability, corruption, you know, they need Jesus, you know, we've got Malema, we've got Ndlankla, I don't even know how to say that, we've got many things that I thought in our time of intercession, it's a good time God can fix all of this, and but Arnu prayed before me, and when he started praying, I was like, we're surely not in the same page. He was going on, God bless them, and God, they must be going through a tough time because they were appointed by you, and because they were appointed by you, it means they must also be under attack by the devil. And he was going on there, and his prayer was such one of honoring for the leadership. And that I was so convicted, by the time it was my chance to pray, I was like, and God, let everyone think like Arne about this country and the government. And again, it's like, that's one of those things of a culture of not honoring, of dishonoring, is that you don't have respect for people in their office. And, you know, I was very honest to myself. I don't think of Jacob Zuma as someone that I will probably honor very easily. You understand what I'm saying? You know, again, God needs to do something in our hearts. Let me go on Ephesians 6 verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Bond servants, and now we're talking about slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and tremble, with sincere heart as you would as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleases, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whatever he is, a bondservant or is free. Again, God even takes it even a little bit further. And the thing that, again, what we learn is that, as I said right in the beginning, if you can learn to honor your imperfect parents, it will be a step to learn how to also honor your imperfect leaders. It will also help you to learn to honor your imperfect people around you. And this is where God really needs to do a work in us. And it's like Hebrews 12, it's not on the slides. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness spring up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. The interesting thing is, and maybe I've shared it in this church before, but for me, the day you know you can really honor your mother and father, and like the previous verse also says, not by just by action, but also within your heart, it's actually that place where you can say to God, thank you for the mother and father that he gave to you. Only then you know you actually healed and delivered from, I want to say, the issues from your mother and father. Because they're imperfect, and in a sense, there's like an impartation of their imperfectness on us. But if we don't get to a place where we can forgive our parents or forgive people around us, or we walk around with unforgiveness, we take it with us. And I understand now, Dean, the other day when she was here, showed you a whole thing of people being pulled together when there's unforgiveness in their hearts. But the thing that we need to learn is to get to a place there where we're humble in every way. It's like Ephesians 4 verse 2 says, be humble and gentle in every way. Be patient with each other, loving, accept each other. And it's the same with, Carl actually mentioned this morning, but he who receives a prophet will get a prophet's reward. There's a place where when we get into that culture of honoring, God also rewards us in that place. So what we need to do is actually ask God to help us to get to a place where we can really thank him for the parents that he has given us, and that there's no root of bitterness in us. Let me just quickly see if I... 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. And it's such powerful verses here. And again, I really believe that God says for us to get to that place where we can walk into that cloud of glory, we need to get in also the culture of honoring and getting the place how to honor God also. Now, to explain even the what honoring is, I'm going to read to you Revelations 4, verse 8. And it's a good, we can see here how heaven would look like. Verse 8, and the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they will never cease to say, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creature gave glory and honor and thanks, and I want you to see all three words there, glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And we see that even to that place of honor, and even our time of giving honor to God, something like worship and praise is two important keys, and obviously thanksgiving. But thanksgiving and praise goes very much along the same direction. And even, I don't know if all of you understand this, but it's a good study to go and make. What's the difference between praise, worship, serving, glory, honor? And I think I even missed one. What's the difference between all of those? Because it will actually help you in your time when you get into God's presence. I want to just quickly, on the place of worship, John 4 verse 23 says, but the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. And Luke 4 verse 8 it says, and Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And again, we see actually a lot of the Ten Commandments, again, in the New Testament. Now, when it comes to worship, it's an interesting thing. A lot of people see worship as something that happens on a Sunday and a Wednesday. Where worship is actually, when we say worship, it is anything that gets the importance of the place of God is an idol. But whenever we put God first in whatever decision at every moment, that's actually worship. So worship is actually something that needs to happen continuously. It's actually just a lifestyle. And for us to really test this, I'm going to put a few questions on the slides there. And first, hear me out before you throw me off a stone or something. When it comes to decision making, what is the type of questions that go through our mind? Is it what is best for me? What is best for my family? What is best for my marriage? What is best for my children? What is best for my work versus what will glorify God, what will obey God, and what will honor God? A lot of times we make decisions on what is best for us, and on purpose put on what is best for my family, what's best for my marriage, what's best for my children. Because the reality is, and this is one of those weird, funny things, that we ask God for a wife, we ask God for a good marriage, we ask God for children, we ask God for a work, but that's a gift from him. You agree? Then we take this gift and we use this as an excuse not to follow him full-heartedly anymore. And we will even justify and take it even further and say, but we need to be a steward of the gift. But reality is that when you think like that, it brings me back to my title of my sermon, Do God Really Know What's Best For You? If the answer is different from what will honor God and what's best for my family, who knows best what is best for your family? Are you with me? What will honor God? We must honor God with our family. We must honor God with our work. We must honor God with my wife. I must honor God with myself. If we do that, that is a place of worship and that's a place of honoring. And while doing that, God obviously knows what is best for us, but the reality is we a lot of times think we know what is better, which actually brings us again back to the Ten Commandments. It says you must not serve any other god. But when we sometimes use even good things and we serve another god, and I've got understanding from where we come from, because a lot of us comes from a generation where our parents did a lot of things wrong and we decided we're going to make it right. And then we actually takes the pendulum and actually idolize our families and all these other things. Yes, our parents also didn't do it right. You know, a lot of our parents didn't engage us as a father and mother should. But it doesn't give us an excuse not to use your marriage to honor God. And when it comes to decision making, it's really to get to that place of what is best for God, and my family will follow in that. Now, I can testify out of my own life that the times that I made the decision that is what will honor God first, my family got all the benefits of this. I'm a better husband because I honor God. You know, it's like I sometimes do find this ironic, but some of us will have a very busy work environment or something, and then we decide we won't go to church, we won't do church stuff because I need to have some family time. But how do we honor God in that? And I totally understand, I'm also a person that so a lot of times away from my house, but you know what, I would rather want God in my house than having my presence in the house. Does it make sense? You know, I know God is looking after my wife and children where they are right now. I don't need to worry about this. It's the same when the Bible talks about in 1 Peter, don't be anxious for nothing. You know why people are anxious for stuff? It's because they worry too much. Because whatever they worry for is something they worship above God. Even in that place in 1 Peter, if you go and read about the whole anxiety thing also, you will find that it gives a lot of guidelines. And one of the guidelines is the devil walks around looking for someone to devour. And it talks about actually your interaction with the fellowship. Go read 1 Peter. It's about submit to your elders. Then there won't be anxiety. It actually says you don't need to have any anxiety because don't you know that God cares for you? But if you've grown up in a place where there was no honoring, there is a place that you might think God doesn't care for you. And that's where the place that we all need healing. Then the next one, so we've got worship as one of the things to honor God. Then the next one is also obviously thanksgiving. And I'm just going to read a few verses to you. In 1 Thessalonians 5 or 6 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Again, God wants to do it. 1 Peter 7 says, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then I'm quickly also going to read you Psalm 50. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. When it comes to glorify me, maybe it's also something I can't actually remember when last did I preach here. But when I think of glorify him, it's like when God says, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. I'm always, and I'm really challenged on this one myself, we put so much time in calling out for God. And first of all, he gives us the guideline, how should we call out to God, even in a time of distress, is actually with thanksgiving. But even in a time of calling out to God and thanksgiving, we ask God for so much things, and then God deliver us. But then my question is, how much glory do we give him afterwards? You know, we will fast for something, we'll pray 5 days for something, then God comes through for us, and if he's lucky, might get a quick thank you, God. But how do you bring glory to God? That bring glory to God is actually that the rest of the world can see that. It's not something you just keep for yourself. So when God do something, it's like the world must hear about this. You know, I'm so enjoying this, and I want to ask you even, or encourage you to go and look at Shofar TV on a weekly basis. We're having so many great, wondrous deeds that God is doing that the world's not actually seeing yet. You know, just last week, we had a lady, it's all on Shofar TV, you can go and see the details. But it was a lady, she's a nurse or a doctor or something, and the person was declared dead, but she felt in her spirit she must keep on praying for this lady. And I know at some stage God specifically told her to pray till the family come, and she must go and stand at the toes of the lady that's now already dead. And the family wasn't coming, so she kept on praying because she felt Holy Spirit, she must keep on praying till the family comes. So she was praying in a spirit, and after 50 minutes, the lady's heart actually came back. And she was raised from the dead. And again, God is doing so many things around us. And, you know, even in that case, I want to bring glory unto the Lord. So that's why we're putting it on Shofar TV. We want as many people to see this. But a lot of times we get into this false humility thing where God comes through us and we think we must keep it for ourselves because it's a sign of humility. The same it is, we had this situation in, I think it was also this year, one of the older couples in Stellenbosch, I think their children is already in university, and they got a lot lamiki. Now what's a lot lamiki in English? What is a lot lamiki in English? It's a late child. Ek weet nie wat is 'n laat lammetjie in Engels nie. Weet almal wat 'n laat en wie verstaan glad die Afrikaans nie. En is laat lammetjie. Anyway, so they got a child when they were already old, if I can put it like that. And when they went to the doctor, they found the child was a Down syndrome child. And at some stage, Pastor Fred and Rick, I don't know if she came to them or they went and prayed for her, but they prayed for her and she felt like a cramp in a stomach, and but the doctor in Stellenbosch sent her to a specialist in Cape Town that worked specifically on Down syndrome children. So they went and took their report with the scan, picture, you know, and everything. And when I came to the specialist in Cape Town, they did their onderzoek, and at some stage the person said to this couple, but it's not the same child. And they did a scan, and the child was completely healed. So we didn't have a Down syndrome child anymore, but a normal child. And I really believe that we're going to get to a place where people's going to walk into God's presence, and He's going to do stuff like that. You know, even besides the laying on of hands. And I really believe as we see lawlessness increase in society, God's standard and presence is going to increase also. You know, and even this morning, I really hope that you even see this as a hope that even in your presence, of not in the presence of this morning in a worship presence, you can really feel God. You know, and it's really if like my experience this morning again is like there is that I want to say God's desire to even break through that, where He's gonna even surprise us. At this stage, I think we're gonna be too surprised. And that's why I really want to ask you to ask God that He bring us to that place of that culture of bring honor to one another, but also to people in leadership in your workplace, here in church. Even in this weekend in a small group, I want to challenge you and encourage you, talk about how do you honor one another? How do you do it? You know? If we can all stand. We're going to have worship again because it was just too good not to do it again. So if you're the worship band. Something I also want you, if maybe we all close our eyes, because I want you to really do a self-examination. This morning, you will know whether you've got in your heart that culture of honoring. You will know it whether you have it or not have it. And the way you will know it is that even in a time of worship, do you honor God or do you come to worship just to get instruction from God or maybe just to have a feeling? Or is your time of worship, even in this morning when the music is playing, is your time of worship one where you want to honor God or is it one that you don't really know what to do? Actually, you're doing what you're doing out of that's what you've learned how to do. But it's not really that place where you can connect with your heart with someone else. And even this morning, do you know, the other day I asked someone, what passion is in your heart that's also in Jesus' heart? Or what passion is actually in Jesus' heart that's also in your heart? And the guy answered me and said, you must reach nations and generations. And he told me the church vision. I was like, now did God put that in your heart or did someone else put that in your heart? And he said, no, someone else put it in my heart. And I actually felt sorry for this person not being able or not having that place where he can experience some of the passion or stuff in God's heart, also in his heart. You know, a lot of us, even when we come to a place of worship and even praise, if there's not that place where you can experience something in God's heart, also in your heart, it will be difficult to worship God. It will be difficult to praise him. Yes, we must keep on doing it, but it's that place of where he imparts something of his heart. So you can also be like that mosquito that eats the artery. Because we all should be like that. And while your eyes are closed, I actually also want to just end off by, it was actually so amazing. While I was running back home that morning, now, for those who do a little bit of running, I actually ran 23 kilometers that morning. And I was just getting stronger and stronger to the end. Now, I know I'm supposed not to get stronger to the end. But I was just enjoying it so much because and at some stage God was saying to me, you know, I know that you've been going through a tough time. You've been, you know, trying your best and all these things. But even in that place where you're going to get into my presence, I'm going to make you start running stronger. Even if all the circumstances says you must be tired now, your joints should be stiff, you know, you're supposed to be thirsty, you're supposed to be hungry now, but because my presence is there, I'm going to make you run stronger. And this morning, I want to be, make that my prayer for all of you, that God brings us to that place that when you're in his presence, he will make you run stronger, even if your circumstances is saying, no, you should be tired now. Your joints should be sore now. You've just run 23 kilometers. So this morning, if you feel you're in a place where you need God's presence to make you run stronger, and you're in a place that you realize, even in a time of worship, I need to get in that place of, in that culture, if I've missed that place of honoring, I want you to just respond to God by lifting up your hand where you're standing right now. Okay, quite a few of you raise up your hands. And what are we going to do this morning? I want you, those that raised your hands, to come and stand here in the front. Maybe we're going to pray for you, maybe we're not. But I want us to sing, the second and third last song, if you can remember it. And in the time of worship, I want you to focus on that place of actually honoring God in your worship. While we're singing, don't focus on what should I get now. Don't focus that I even need the deliverance now. Don't think of I did something wrong or that I should even feel guilty or condemned. Just focus on God, show me, I want to honor you. Come and show me how. And let's just enjoy God's presence. Let it come and fill us up. So if all of you have raised your hand, please come forward. We're going to enjoy God's presence here in the front all together. Okay.